Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Video game. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ram, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
Bang! What is up, everybody? Corey Vincent here, and this is the news. Welcome to the show. We were gone for a week, and just like normal, every time we take a week off, you know, no more weeks off, guys, because the world is in disarray right now.
We picked a hell of a week.
This happens. If you go back, we've only missed like two or three. And every time we do, just the world is in not as good a place as we left it. Speaking of not as good a place as we left it, Emma Skies, how you doing?
Wow, thanks for that. what the fuck does that mean?
I don't know. We can read into it.
Wow, I hate you.
How you been?
I'm good. Good. God, I don't know how to answer that question anymore. Everything's closed again. It feels like nothing opened up in the first place, but everything's closed again because I never left.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And if the real world wasn't fucked up enough, the internet world sure is not in as good a place as we left it, which we'll get into, I'm sure. Also joining us on the show this week is Lexi. How you doing, Lexi?
You know, unlike Emma, like, I don't know how to answer that question anymore. It's one of those things. But I'm doing good, I guess, for what it is, what it's worth, you know. There is a lot of things going on, so very concerning to me with the world, but I'm trying to make it through.
We're gonna
mentally and physically.
We're going to get into every single thing that we missed in the last week. Trust me, we're not going to leave any stone unturned. And also joining us, Curtis Fisher. How was your Father's Day, man?
My Father's Day was pretty cool, man. It was nice. I got to be with my kids, so that's always fun. We watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. How much better could it get, man? Corey, how was your Father's Day? Your official first Father's Day. How was it?
I loved Father's Day. I'm not even going to lie, dude. I like it way better than birthdays. Birthdays suck compared to Father's Day. Like, I don't feel like I earned a birthday. I just got a year older, a year grumpier. I'm one, you know, year closer to death. But for Father's Day, I feel like, God damn, like, I've been working for this. I've been grinding. And then, you know, wake up with breakfast in bed, you know, the little baby just looking at you a little bit different, a little special. So I love Father's Day. I cannot wait for every one of those. Birthdays, I mean, garbage now. But like we said, let's get into this because we got a lot to cover, guys. Let's start with an easy one. The Last of Us 2 has come. And
you think this is an easy one? Oh, this is gonna be fun.
Comparatively, Emma, this is I wish this was it. I wish that this was the story of the day, but unfortunately it's not. But Last of Us 2 came out with, I don't think anybody really expected this to not be a controversy, because the game obviously
Features women
for one, and not only women, but women of
gay women.
Yeah, that's the one. That's I don't know what to say and what I can't say, you know, Emma. It's 2020 and we're
do you want me to take this? Please take this one. So yeah, we always knew it was going to be received in a certain way by a certain sect of the gaming community, because the lead character is a female and she is a queer female in a loving relationship with another woman. So there was always going to be, there were people from the very beginning that were like, that were just determined to not like this. But The Last of Us 2 has come out with like really very, very mixed reviews, and nobody's quite sure, at least as far as like consumers, a lot of consumers aren't quite sure how to parse through that And if you exist only on Twitter, you would think that this game is like the devil. Because just don't ever look at any comments on Twitter about this game. Just don't do it.
Hey,
don't do it to yourself.
I don't know. You're being a little unfair. I don't know who you follow, but most of the people I follow have been saying extremely positive stuff about this game. Industry.
No, I mean industry people. I'm talking about the comments. Don't look at the comments from random people.
You still read Twitter comments, huh? After all you've been through.
I'm a masochist at heart, apparently.
So, Metacritic.
There's been a few reasons for it.
Metacritic, you know, we love Metacritic just as kind of the barometer of humanity. You know, like we said, Media Score is giving it like a 94. It's like near perfect ratings on this game. And it, as far as the user fan base, is sitting at a 5.0, which
out of 100 or out of 10?
I think it's out of 10. I'm sure it's out of 10, which is right flat in the middle, which tells you that there is, you know, it's, I skimmed, there's over 100,000 user scores for this game, which, congratulations, I guess the game is making money, you know, so.
I would wager that most of those are from people that didn't play the game, though. If you actually scroll through them, I would wager that a good amount of them are people who did not play the game.
Well, at least 50,000 then. If the half that were on the green side probably bought the game and played it. Some of the reviews I'll go through. I just wrote a few here because I feel like they kind of show where people are at right now. One gave it
Make
a
sure we're not talking about spoilers.
Yeah, nothing. Okay. This one gave it a 0 and says, this game has a horrible plot. Everything else is great, but the plot is the most important element and it's trash. Another person gave it a 10, said the fact that the story is sad does not mean the story is bad. We did not get the story we expected, but we accept it for what it is, and it has never before seen experience. The best graphic gameplay we've seen this generation. So right there, you could see the duality of man. The next one gave it a 0, says it's boring, it's preachy, it's broken, it's money wasted. They refuse to give refunds. This is not a game to entertain you. It's a game. This game is hate speech against you.
Hilarious.
So I want to.
Can you just like filter all of these reviews by the term SJW and just read all those?
You could.
So
what's he getting at?
This, right?
What's he getting at? This game is hate speech against you.
So a lot of the online discourse about this game has been about the fact that it is female characters. There's stuff that has to pertain to this that I can't say because it's massively spoilery. But there are aspects of this game that people decided was just hate speech against white men or hate speech against men in general, or like, you know, this game is, you know, feminazi, whatever. And there's a few things that pertain to that. And there's this like perfect storm of aspects of this game that made people very angry, and it's what we talked about before. It's the lead character is a female. She's a queer female. There is another very large part of the story that's based on another character. She's new, and she is fucking jacked. Abby is so buff. She is shredded. And what has come out of that is that a lot of people are like convinced that she's a man. And so there's like an actually large part of this discussion that's based around the fact that like she's a man. It's stupid. So there's that. There's the fact that there's a female character in here that does not fit any stereotype of like archetypal feminine beauty. And then there's a trans character. And like all of those things put together, people got pissed. And there was that idea that like because these characters exist, the game itself is preaching, quote unquote, or the game undervalues other types of people. It was just so weird. So there are
from your perspective, does the game, like, is it just these characters exist and they're going through the storyline together, or is there elements where it like really points the finger and vilifies just regular cis like white guys or something like that?
No,
or even it does not. Or even what are they called, you know, the Joker people out there, the
oh yeah, incels. No, it doesn't vilify those type of people at all. There's one scene that made a lot of people mad where it's like a flashback. They're just looking at, you know, just types of their lives, and some guy like calls one of the girls a dyke. And it's like a thing, like it's and like he means it derogatorily. And they were like, this is what they think all straight men are like. And I was like, calm down. So in that way, there's a lot of criticism against this game that is very much not deserved. However, there's also a lot of criticism of it that, in my opinion, is very much deserved because I really didn't like the story.
Really?
Yeah. And I was so excited. I was like crying. I was so excited for this game. You guys heard me. I was ready. I was upset. And I, the way that they structured the story, in my opinion, I understand the story they were trying to tell. I understand the lessons that Naughty Dog was trying to impart. I really get what they were trying to say. And what they were saying, it just didn't fucking work. And a large part of that, in my opinion, comes down to the structure of the story and not anything to do with you know, anything else, which is what makes it very difficult to have a sort of discourse about this, because so much of the criticism is based on these things that don't fucking matter and have nothing to do with it. And it's like, you can't have a conversation about what might actually be a valid criticism because so much of it is buried within everything else.
As much as I want to take, you know, this review seriously, Emma, I always have in the back of my mind forever how much you loved the Norman Reedus game Death Stranding.
I mean, the one that you literally never played a single second of.
And when you say like the story didn't like, because it the way it was structured, how am I supposed to take that seriously when one of your favorite games like has absolutely no structure and makes no sense to anyone?
Literally never played a single second of this game. So it tells me you know the story of it.
So actually, I kind of have more respect for The Last of Us 2 story because it must make sense enough to you not like it.
You've literally never played. You can't do the Death Stranding thing because you're basing off a game you've never played.
From everything I've watched enough of it to say I've played it. How about that?
No, you haven't.
I watched Twitch stream. I watched some of your streams of you carrying boxes and setting up little ladders, and I was not impressed.
They didn't because I never used the ladders.
I wasn't.
I know you're full of shit. There's been a lot of discourse about Last of Us. A lot of people that think it's really, really good. That's the thing. Like, a lot of people like this game is 10 out of 10 perfection, like in every conceivable way. I disagree greatly. Where I kind of fall on it is that gameplay-wise, the game's incredible. Like, graphics, gameplay, visuals, the actual mechanics of it are all phenomenal, and it falls apart for me at the story.
Okay. I could dig it. I guess, people just can't leave it at Metacritic reviews. You know, they got to go that extra step, and a lot of the actors and developers have been getting a lot of vile messages. So much so that the game's director, Neil Druckmann, kind of stepped out and did an interview. And he said, I think you have to create some separation to say we made this game. We believe in this game. We're proud of this game. Now it's out there. It's like whatever reaction people have, whether or not they like it, that's fair. That's their reaction. You don't fight that. The other thing is the more hateful stuff, the vile stuff. That's a little harder. It's especially harder when you see it happening to team members, cast members who play a particular character in the game. So it's getting Star Wars'd out, basically.
Laura Bailey has been just getting shat on because she plays the character of Abby, who, may I just say, I fucking hate. I hate her. I cannot stand her. But that's not Laura Bailey's fault. And it's not even that, like, it's stupid. I don't understand. It's the same thing that you see with movies all the time. Movies, TV shows, just actors for anything, just get reactions based off the characters they play. Like, that's not, I don't understand why you can't separate that. That's not real. That's not a real thing.
It's a bad trend that seems to be only getting worse with time. Final thoughts, though, Emma. You played through the game. You didn't like the story, but overall, as an experience, what do you give it out of 10?
We talked about this a lot on my streams, and people kept asking me, like, 0 out of 10, what do you think? 0 out of 100, what do you think? I really don't like rating games in that way, specifically for this reason, because there are parts of this game that are 10 out of 10 and parts of this game that I just really did not like. And so Lexi was asking me earlier, like, am I going back to get all the achievements? I don't want to play this game again, especially not right now. Like, I need to give myself some time. There's a bit of it. There's part of the reason that I didn't like it that I'm wondering if maybe now that I know about it, I will enjoy it more on a second watch or a second playthrough, because the way this game was structured made me resent the time I spent playing it.
Wow. So
dang. Like there, yeah.
So you okay? So I know you don't want to give it a rating out of 10, but would you recommend someone play this game? Who is this game for? Who should play this?
I mean, if you, that's hard to say. I don't know. If you, you like the first one, then you will like the gameplay mechanics. And if you're interested in a story, I would say if you're interested in a story that is new and is going to challenge you and the way you perceive things and the way that you think, then this is an experience that you might want to have. And generally that's something I'm into, but like, I just don't like the way they presented it. Honestly, a lot of the things that I don't like about this game come down to timing. If they had timed everything differently, I think it would have been much more impactful. Maybe we'll do a spoiler cast sometime so I don't have to be so vague about it. But yeah.
All right. So Emma hated so it. Upsetting. You shouldn't play it. 0 out of 10.
Wow. Can you imagine, though, like how upset I was when I realized I didn't like it? I was so excited.
I respect it, though. I respect so much more when someone could fall on the sword and be like, you know, disappointed. And that happens all the time with the things you love most. And it comes from a spot of love, especially knowing, you know, how much you care about the first one. So those are the reviews that are the most necessary out there and the hardest ones to do. Like, I remember my Destiny review was one of those because I loved Bungie. Yeah. It's my favorite game studio, and I feel like they slapped me in the face. So, like, it's hard to swallow those pills, but you did it. The next bit of news we had, I'll let you carry again, Cyberpunk back in the news. Hey. Got delayed again, which I don't think we were able to talk about.
Wow, lies.
No, it did, lies. Really. Since
we talked about it already. We talked about it. About the September to November.
Everything blends together. Everything blends
together. Yeah, no, we did. For those of you listening, it has not been delayed again. It's still November. That date is still the date. No, but this week, games journalists got a hold of the first 4 hours of the game-ish, four-ish hours. They basically got the prologue. They got the prologue of the game before everything really, you know, gets started, which the prologue is 4 hours. Holy shit.
Damn.
this is going to be a crazy game.
I hope it's a good 4 hours and not Red Dead Redemption 2. Like,
that's exactly what I was thinking about when because I watched. So the only thing I watched about it, I'm trying not to, like, you guys know I don't do spoilers. So I'm trying not to watch too much content about it. But I did watch Alana Pierce. She did like a Q&A. She was like, ask me all your questions about Cyberpunk. I just played 4 hours and I'll answer what I can. So she did that. The most surprising thing, I did not realize just how customizable your genitals are in this game.
Yes.
You can customize your dick.
Okay. Wasn't there an episode that I wasn't on, thankfully?
We talked about being able to partially do some of that stuff, but she was like, she was in the character creator, and she's like, you can choose circumcised or uncircumcised, and then you can customize the length. Breasts were things that they couldn't customize. They were like grayed out in this demo. But I was like, my question, because that is on its face is odd. My question is, how often are you going to see your own dick in this game that you had to customize it?
I'm hoping it's like, you know, I mean, I'm not hoping it's like, but I'm assuming it's going to be like in other games when you make some sort of decision, it's just going to change some of the dialogue options down the road.
About your giant dick?
Yeah, or the other way, or if you decided to go the other way with it.
She talked about romance options and the fact that it has an effect on your romance options, because in a lot of games, like The Witcher, like you can romance whoever, or like Mass Effect, like you romance whoever, like, just doesn't matter. In this game, like, you'll come across characters that if you have a penis, they want nothing to do with you. Like, they like vagina, so they don't want you. Vice versa, if you have a vagina and they're into penis, like, you can't romance that character.
God, how...
Wow.
I don't know.
So it has an effect on romance options.
This game's gonna be a nightmare to stream.
That's what I was wondering. I can't remember if it was a story that they would have it or if it was somebody suggesting that they should, where streamer mode in a lot of these games would be great. Last of Us could have used a streamer mode, I'm gonna say, where, like, it just censors out nudity.
Okay.
Would be very, very helpful for some of this stuff.
So what did you do to get around that, circumvent that on Twitch?
I panicked and pressed every button until I changed the scene. Hilariously so, to take an aside. I was pressing every button because I was trying to skip the cutscene at first, and then I realized I couldn't skip it, so I started pressing buttons on my stream deck trying to change the scene. in all of my button pressing, I didn't realize this till much later when I was going through the screenshots that I took. I recorded the scene and saved it to my hard drive on my PlayStation because I just pressed that configuration of buttons. So I'm like going through screenshots. I was like, oh, this is nice. Look at this photo. Oh my God. Why is this in here?
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, so to get back into Cyberpunk.
Wait, curious though, before we talk about this, because it's rated M for mature, I'm sure. Is there, so when you play this game, do you have to edit your genitals?
I can't answer that for you.
That's what
I would
I'm
not know.
About.
Like, can you just, I mean, I'm sure you can just skip over that option and just have whatever it default gives you.
True.
Hopefully, because I'm just thinking a lot of younger people play M games. I worked at a GameStop, so I've seen how the blatant disregard for the rating system that happens in this world. So, like, I'm just wondering now every
like, are there parental controls?
Every 12-year-old who plays this game now, are they going to be forced to go through a thing where they have to edit the size of their genitals and stuff? And it just feels not so good. So I would like to believe there's going to be a
Well, CD Projekt Red is a European studio, right? So it doesn't really strike me as odd that they're less concerned with nudity than we are.
That's true.
Our obsession with protecting everybody from, like, the evils of nudity is a very American puritanical idea that isn't as prevalent in Europe.
Yeah, they have, like, new beaches everywhere in Europe. And their drinking age is younger. Like, they don't care about a lot of stuff that we care about.
I did a shoot for Energy Esports in Spain, and we were like, oh, there's a beach. Let's go, you know, shoot the player bios there. So we went there, and first thing we see is a topless woman. And I was like, wait, okay, we got to go to a different beach. We got to go to a different one that's not a nude beach, especially if we're going to be filming. And they were like, dude, every beach around here is a nude beach, so we just got to choose our angles, right? You know, like, it was definitely jarring to see that it wasn't like how we think here. Like, there's specific nude beaches. Every beach there is pretty much a nude beach by our standards.
Yeah, there's just not a ton of rules about it, so it doesn't strike me as particularly odd that CD Projekt Red isn't as concerned about that as maybe an American studio would be.
Okay,
although that is definitely much more blatant than anybody else has done.
I'm sure they'll come out with, like, more information because they're having the Nightwires every so often to give us more things.
Did you watch this one?
Yeah, I did. I was super excited.
What'd they talk about?
I mean, they talked about, like, the specs of the game. Like, the developers came on there and talked a little bit about that. But then they gave us the trailer, too. I forgot the last thing they gave us or talked about.
Yeah, they put out the trailer. They talked a little bit about some of the combat systems. They showed Brain Dance for the first time, which we had never seen before, which is basically, it reminds me a lot of Observer, which I don't know if anybody played, but the game Observer that was like that kind of Blade Runner-esque, even Rutger Hauer was actually in the game, where you kind of hack into somebody's cybernetic enhancements. You hack into their essentially memories, and you can manipulate the memory. So they show it off by looking at like a liquor store robbery, and they're like, you can watch it play out, and then you can rewind and fast forward and freeze frame, and you can hack within the hacking, and it's basically a hacking simulation.
But it, like, reminded me of Remember Me.
Yeah,
it looked a lot like Remember Me, like that part.
Yeah, so we saw that for the first time, and then God, there was something else that I just had and I lost it. But yeah, so there's videos, there's articles, if you're interested in the kind of stuff that you might be able to see in Cyberpunk now that some people have gotten a hold of it. It's going to be out in November, hopefully. They did confirm also at the Nightwire that they'd already said that if you buy it on Xbox One, you'll have it for the Series X. And they did confirm that for PlayStation as well. If you buy it for the PS4, you will have it for the PS5.
Good. That's the way it should be, as it should be. Mm-hmm.
Especially when your game comes out at the same time as the new console.
Yeah,
exactly.
100%. The next news story we have caught the world completely off guard. Rest in peace, Mixer. I think we were just talking about Mixer because of something or other they did. We obviously kind of know the big Ninja deal that they have, where they paid Ninja an obscene amount of money to go exclusive. And we've often kind of talked about the comparison to Twitch and exactly how small the numbers are, and it came out of nowhere. On June 22nd, they put out a tweet saying, "Mixer partners, streamers, and community, today we've got some very big news for you. We've decided to close operations on Mixer. We're officially partnering with Facebook Gaming, and we're cordially inviting you to join." And they put out like an official statement and really tried to shepherd all of their partnered streamers over to Facebook Gaming. Where were you when you heard the news, Curtis?
I was in my room and then I got a notification, of course, in Discord. And I was like, what? This can't be real. It was actually our homie Kevin from a SAC PC gamer group. And I was just like, I just saw it, like, Mixer is going away. And I was like, I can't believe this. This is crazy. Of course, the first thing I thought about was how they just did that deal with Shroud and Ninja and how they're supposed to make $1 billion, or I think it was like, I think Ninja was like 20 to 30 million and Shroud, it was somewhere close to that, like 20 million or something. And I was like, I guess this is a sign that that money was not well spent, even though I'm sure they're still going to get their money. But like, I guess it didn't bring the numbers that they thought. So they're merging with Facebook Gaming, which I have never even taken a look at Facebook Gaming to see how successful they are. So, someone else is going to have to enlighten me on that.
Where were you when you heard the news, Emma? And what kind of effect did it have on your life?
I don't know, and nothing. I don't know. I saw it on Twitter. Like, I don't care. It's funny because, actually, you know what? I found out because of somebody's meme tweet about the fact that Mixer just informed everybody, like, even including their own partners, that they're shutting down by tweeting about it.
Yeah, that was pretty messed up. Employees.
So I saw those L. Lance. I don't know how he pronounces it. I don't know if he's just Lance. L. Lance. I don't know how he wants to pronounce the double L. But he does those really funny, like, one-man skit videos on Twitter. And that's how I found out that Mixer was shut down, because I watched his video and I was like, oh, this is really oddly spit. Oh, this is real.
Yeah.
He's not kidding.
Serious. What about you, Lexi?
I was just working and saw it in passing. And I was just like, there's no way. But then I was like, but they're partnering up with Facebook. And I was surprised they didn't say, like, something crazy like partnering up with YouTube or something. Because, I mean, I don't see a lot of people on Facebook Gaming. Again, that's something, I don't know if you would know the deets for that. I see more people on Twitch. I saw people on Mixer, of course, and then YouTube. And I just know a small group of people that do Facebook. I feel like it's an older demographic, and that most people, especially like me, I just keep up with family and friends on there, but I'm more so on like Twitter, and I watch Twitch all the time. So I don't know if it's the right move or not, but I would love to know more about the Facebook part.
I think, I don't know, it seemed like there is some sort of deal. No one was really talking too much about the Facebook partnership. It looks like they're just trying to get as many of their partners over there as possible. And I mean, the thing is, Mixer was like technologically very nice. It was a lot better than Twitch, I would say, as far as just it working. Maybe it doesn't have the server stress that Twitch might have, but you know, technologically it was a fine platform. And I've been on Facebook. I've streamed on there once or twice, and I've tried to watch a few streams. Not so much. Like, it's probably the weakest of all of them. I would say Mixer was probably the best. A tie between YouTube and Twitch, and then Facebook Gaming way down below. So maybe, hopefully, they're going to improve the tech and some of that stuff. And then what most people were talking about, though, was the Ninja deals. And Curtis hit it on the head when he said that probably wasn't the best use of $40 million. and that, imagine if they would have taken that $40 million and invested in the creators that they did have, you know, like the smaller ones, and building those guys up as stars and, you know, maybe incentivizing viewership that way. But
this is absolute proof that your value of your platform lies within the platform itself and not within the creators on it, because they threw all the money to get the biggest people and it didn't do shit for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Sources. This comes from Slasher. He says Facebook offered an insane amount, double the original Mixer contracts of Ninja and Shroud, but Loaded, which is the company that represents Ninja and Shroud, said no and forced Mixer to buy them out. So Ninja made $30 million from Mixer, and Shroud made $10 million, and now they're both free agents. So I think they had three-year contracts, only had to serve not even, like, I think a full year, and got to walk away with the entire sum. So
Wow. Congratulations.
The rich get richer.
Rich get richer.
God dang.
Toss a coin to your Witcher.
Ninja still hasn't said where he's going next. There's been speculation since he's updated like his Twitch page since then. Like now it's his Fortnite and Valorant player on there. Like there's been minor updates. But I wouldn't be surprised if YouTube dished out a bunch of money for him at this point. And I think that might be the play for him anyways. Emma, what would you do if you're Ninja? Would you go back to your home of Twitch, or would you hold out for a deal with a competitor?
As a poor, I cannot fathom the decisions I would have to make at that amount of money. I really can't. Because do you take the one-time payment? Like, do you do what you just did? You take a big one-time payment from another platform, although this one, YouTube, obviously much more stable than Mixer. Or do you not take the lump sum and do you go back to where you were before, where you were making hand over fist money every month that wasn't nearly as big as that lump sum, but would eventually, if that holds out over time, would surpass it? Mm. I don't fucking know. I'm not rich.
The third option that people are talking about is that he's going to launch his own streaming platform.
No, nobody's talking about that. 4chan is not a source.
Well,
4chan is not a
source. I mean, you don't know. I mean, I'm sure, yeah.
What kills me about that, because that ended up being a very big, that it comes into a later story, that ended up being a very big rumor that kept going on. They were like, Shroud and Ninja and Dr. Disrespect, they're all starting their own platform. Mixer literally just proved days ago that you can't make a platform with names. That just happened.
Yeah, but I think that might have been the issue with Mixer, is that it never had like personality or like a true community. If you take a couple guys like, you know, Ninja and Shroud and a few others, it wouldn't take many more, and you say this is going to be Twitch done right without all the shit, because Twitch catches flack all the time, especially now. It's been getting even worse. They're, you know, it's trending to try and get their CEO to resign. You know, they throw out bans to people who don't deserve it, and then they let things slide for people like Alinity. Like, there's tons of reason and discourse for people to want to leave Twitch if there was a legitimate new option that wasn't maybe ran by a YouTube or Facebook or Mixer. Do you agree?
I have one word for everybody. All right, you ready? Vero.
I don't know.
Does anybody know what that is?
Oh, exactly. My God, I do. Exactly. I have a Vero account. Yeah, but what was...
Of course you do.
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah. So what happened with
Vero? Vero had all of those arguments. It was like, what if we had Instagram, but it was done right? It's called Vero. And nobody knows what the fuck it is anymore because it went nowhere.
Dang.
This whole thing about like a new stream platform, this is the streamer version of Vero.
Wow. Calling it.
I stand by it. I said what I said.
All right. yeah, it's just been a crazy move. I mean, this one, I had probably my most viral tweet off my personal account ever with a little meme I made of this one just being, it was the Mixer logo ascending into Microsoft heaven with Clippy and the Zune and the Windows phone.
Wow.
And MSN Messenger.
I was going to say, is Paint in there?
No, MSN Paint is still alive. All right. That is alive and well. But this was... this will go down in history as another failed Microsoft like blunder, and it's,
and they can afford it.
They totally can. Yeah, they have tons of money in the bank to make these types of mistakes. But it's just sad because another one that just felt like it was ahead of its time, man. Poor Microsoft. They can't get a break. I know Curtis is a Mac person, but overall, does this, you know, further tarnish the legacy of Microsoft, or will it just be a blip on the radar?
I think it'll be a blip on the radar. They've had other things fail before. I mean, you know, they're hanging in there. They're doing better. I don't have that much of a superiority complex when it comes to them. I wish them well. And I liked what they were trying to do with the community. All of my experiences with Mixer have been pleasant, especially with, you know, like the toxicity levels on there were extremely low compared to other places like, you know, Twitch and even YouTube, watching YouTube gamers and gamer streams, which I do frequently. But you know, yeah, it seemed nice, but you know, to your point, it just never really had enough character, and I also don't feel like it had enough identity. And not to mention the name was not like a, you know, it just didn't have a lot of, it wasn't really attention grabbing. You know, when people first started saying it, you know, I'm like I said, I immediately thought of like audio, you know, like mm-hmm. audio gear, and I'm like, mixer, is this a music thing? And then I thought about like, you know, the social gatherings, you know, we're gonna have a mixer, and I was like, mm-hmm. I don't know, none of it ever went there. But when I thought of, you know, Twitch, and you see the purple, it's like, yeah, you know, your game might twitch and glitch a little bit, like that just feels like it was right in the vein of gaming. So I think if they would have picked a better name and just got a little bit more identity for the brand, it probably could have done better, because I feel like the heart of it and what they were going for was good. But now we'll never know. So good luck, Facebook Gaming.
Do you ever think that Facebook Gaming will like merge with Twitch or something, vice versa, or something like that in the near future? Well, not like anytime soon, but
I don't think Facebook and Amazon can play nice.
And yeah, and so and so want to get in bed with each other for the streaming thing. So.
Oh, what about, talk sure. about like the but, worst hey, team of in America.
I also never
history.
Thought Microsoft and Facebook Gaming would merge, so here we
yeah.
are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, supervillain team Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos.
I mean, the Microsoft Facebook one kind of makes sense, just because they do have history with the Oculus. Like, they have deal like exclusive deals with each other. Like, the Oculus was supposed to be the official, like, you know, VR of the Microsoft and Xbox suite. So seeing those two kind of come together is reasonable. I can't see a world where Amazon and Facebook teams up, though, or even YouTube and any of those other two. I think they're going to fight it out to the death. They're going to go down kicking and screaming. I think YouTube, though, is surprisingly in a good position. Like, they have the, like, they dwarf Twitch when it comes to content consumption on a daily basis. Like, Twitch is huge.
And revenue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I completely think YouTube is the dark horse in all of this.
I feel like YouTube doesn't like, they're not pushing super hard the live stuff because they just don't fucking care. They're like, we're a $16 billion company. Why do we care about this $500 million thing we could squish under our boot?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just not worth it.
They were hiding I remember when quarantine and shelter in place started, they were actually hiding a lot of like the smaller streams, not sending out notifications and stuff like that when their bandwidth was being hugged, and when they were you know, delivering videos by default at the 480p and all that stuff. So yeah, I agree with y'all. I think, you know, it was something that they wanted to add so they didn't really lose people, but yeah, far be it from them to really promote that side of their business. But who knows, in the future we'll see where it goes. But Twitch is probably gonna stick with it because that's their bread and butter. I just don't see Facebook Gaming getting all that much bigger. They would have to do something pretty radical and innovative in order to bring people mm-hmm. over there.
The next story we have here, speaking of dropping people, Dr. Disrespect dropped from the Twitch platform permanently this time. We've seen him get away with tons of stuff in the past, including, you know, filming in the bathrooms at E3. Got him a little ban. He's done some other crazy stuff, but this time it's for real. Twitch came out and said, as is our process, we take appropriate action when we have evidence that a streamer has acted in violation of our community guidelines or terms of service. These apply to all streamers, regardless of status or prominence in our community. And then his, you know, channel went away. Emma, you had some tweets about this. I feel like you're a little happy. I feel like you're a little gloaty. You've never.
Oh,
really...
I had to think about it. I was like, "What did I say at the front?" No, because all I said was, "I said something along the lines of, is now a good time to talk about the fact that if your entire sense of humor is based on being an asshole, you're really not that funny."
I mean, it's
but
done
that's
though.
Just me.
It's
that's
done
just, like,
yeah, yeah. I was gonna say, I've done okay for myself.
Wow. I'm not a fan of him, so I was like, "Cool." I think he should have been banned a while ago for some of the things that he's gotten away with. It's just bizarre. This has become like the mystery of the century for this like little set, like this little part of Twitter that nobody else gives a shit about. Like, I don't give a shit about this guy. I need to know what happened. I am so invested. And I'm like, I couldn't give a shit about this man, but I'm so invested. I have to know what happened.
It's weird. That's how the internet is. If you tell the internet you can't know something, people are going to find out. And this has been really kept under lock and key. One person who apparently says they know what's going on, and we've talked about him quite a bit on this episode, is he's kind of becoming like the face of news in this territory. Slasher came out and said that he knows why, but does not feel comfortable disclosing, and then kind of left it at that.
He was talking quite a bit when it first happened about like he was one of the first ones to talk about that it actually happened at all, and then he mentioned something about like sources that he had that knew it was going on, and he was debunking certain things, and like when people were like one of the first things he said was sources say this is not a DMCA thing, because that was the first thing people went, they were like, oh, he got DMCA takedown, you know, and now it actually banned his whole channel. And he was like, it's not that. It's not that he's going to start a new platform. It's none of this. I know what it is. I just don't feel comfortable talking about it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Dr. Disrespect came out like 2 days later. It wasn't even like quickly. And he said Champions Club, which is what he calls his fan base. Twitch has not notified me on the specific reason behind their decision. Firm handshakes to all those that show support during this difficult time. Dr. Disrespect. His wife also put out a statement earlier than him the day before, just thanking the Champions Club for all of their support in the time. I find it strange that, you know, we have Slasher saying he doesn't feel comfortable with it. We have Twitch saying that he broke the process. This happens amid like a lot of people getting called out. Is this part of Me Too, or is there another name for it? Because we're like, this last week has been every time you log on to Twitch, there's a new Twitlonger, and people, abusers and people are getting called out, which is a very good thing. But it's just kind of like strange timing that the Dr. Disrespect thing happens here. So people are kind of drawing those connections.
Yeah, we were talking about that in the pre-show, that this is either really, really horrible timing, or it's part of that and it has something to do with that. And the only reason that I can think that nobody's saying anything is that legally he can't. It's really weird that because like you even said in the beginning, like from a PR perspective, that's obviously going to be one of the first things people think about given the timing. And if that's not it and you're able to, you would immediately come out and say that's not what it is.
Yeah.
So the fact that he hasn't likely means that he can't. So it's got to be some legal thing that we're not going to go down the conspiracy rabbit hole. We'll all find out whenever we find out. But did you see somebody posted the last 5 minutes of his very last stream?
I did.
Did you see that video?
I watched it, yeah.
He appears to get some kind of message. He gets an email. He gets notified of something, and his mood changes.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he gets off stream.
Yeah, he got kind of like really mumbly and stuff. Very uncharacteristic of him. I hope it's I really want to just believe the conspiracy theories that him and Ninja and Shroud are gonna go build, you know, Twitch V2 and it was a whole publicity stunt. Just because I just don't want to see that. I don't want to see
exactly
one.
You don't want to know what else it could be.
I don't want,
you want it to be something innocent and easy and simple.
I don't want one more story from, you know, someone in this space being a bad person. There's been enough of that. Mm-hmm. Can we just have some good news, some good stories? Like,
nope.
I can't think of anything.
It's 2020. Where do you think you are?
I guess.
Yeah.
Like, besides the Tony Hawk remaster and the skate announcement, like, there hasn't really been much going for us this year.
That skate game's going to take 6 years to come out.
Don't.
Because they didn't. All they said was that they were planning on making one. They didn't say. They did not say they were starting it.
Yeah, we've been around the block enough to know. Like that was totally impromptu. Just like put something out there because they had nothing else. That show was pretty weak actually until that happened. Mm-hmm. Any other last theories that anyone has on the Dr. Disrespect?
I just want to know what's going on. I'm with Emma. I'm like, what is happening? I need to know. So.
We'll know at some point. It's just when and who's going to be the one to say it.
Yeah.
Who's going to be the leaker?
Yeah. We know we got Keemstars on the job. So,
oh my God, you know, fuck that guy.
Make sure to follow @Keem. And,
that man is a monster. Honestly, that man's a piece of shit.
Actually,
like, legitimately,
he's a terrible person. But yeah, nothing. There's no buts. It was pretty bad. You got attacked by one of his followers on Twitter. It was pretty
hilariously so. Yes, that's my favorite thing about, like, occasionally about like. If you listen to this show for more than 5 minutes, I have very loud opinions. Yeah. I have very strong opinions about a lot of things. So one of the best parts of being that way is that you weed out, like, the nasties and the idiots and the assholes, like, pretty regularly. Like, I'll post something and somebody will be like, oh, I didn't know she felt like this. And they'll get really mad about it. And I'm like, bye, bitch. Yeah. Why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you trying to argue with me about this? Get out. Like, I don't know why you think I'm going to be upset if you unfollow me. Get the fuck out. Like, this is exactly why I talk like this, so that you will leave.
Yeah. Twitch also kept the ban train rolling, and actually they banned the president of the United States from the Twitch.
He got suspended.
Platform. Okay, I know, but it's more fun to say ban. But it was a let's just say temporarily banned.
Trump misinformation over here.
He was temporarily banned. All right.
Yes.
They said that it was kind of wild. And you would think, I wonder how high up at Twitch it has to go to ban the president of the United States Twitch channel. Like, did Bezos flip the switch, or is it down
Bezos
below
doesn't even know Twitch exists. It only makes $500 million a year. He does not know it exists.
It's true. It's skin off his back. But I guess they kind of just run old speeches and stuff on that channel.
Yeah.
I had no idea that that was a thing, but they use it to show old stuff. And I guess one of his original, you know, one rallies he did a couple years ago, the one that was really bad, where he was calling Mexicans all rapists and things like that. They flagged that as racist comments.
Yes, they did.
And, you know, they put out a statement, said, like anyone else, politicians on Twitch must adhere to the terms of service community guidelines. We do not take exceptions for political or newsworthy content, and will take action on the content reported if it violates these rules. Goddamn, Twitch has had to put
Good
out a lot
them.
Of statements. That's a lot of statements in a week. I do not envy their PR social media team.
That's an easy hit, though, especially for, like, that. That's an easy hit.
Yeah. It's one of those ones I don't even think Trump noticed, because if he noticed and if it bothered him in the slightest, you know, he would have tweeted about this.
Oh,
already.
Yeah. He didn't hear about it on Fox and Friends, so it didn't happen.
And, like, we've seen what happened. I don't even know if we covered this because it, you know, happened. So in amid all this chaos, you know, we had other things to talk about. But he got some of his posts flagged off Twitter, and he let all hell raise over that. Like, he was threatening the company and all this crazy
he
stuff.
He put out an executive order based on that shit. It doesn't do anything. It's purely theater, but he did it, and he signed some papers so that he could look like a big man. I was like, you reacted to this so fast.
Well, that's his platform. Like, have you he puts out actual presidential, like, stuff on that Twitter. Like, he makes announcements.
That's where that was one of his first, like, really big Twitter things, was that he announced to the world the transgender military ban he wanted to put in place. He announced that on Twitter.
Yeah.
For the first time. We're like, you can't do this. Jack Dorsey needs to ban that whole account. Man's a coward.
Ban the president.
Honestly, like, I'm not even joking at this point. Ban him from Twitter. He has violated every terms of service they have. And because he's the president, they're like, well, you know, he needs a platform. No, he doesn't. He does not need your platform. Ban him.
I feel like Twitter as a whole recently has just been, I don't know if this is just the new norm for how Twitter's going to go, but it is very politically charged. For every issue, like, not even just presidential stuff, not just Me Too stuff, Black Lives Matter stuff, like, anything you post on Twitter, it feels like in the last, I don't know, month or so, anything, you just got people who are just vicious to fight each other over it. It's like YouTube comments 2.0. like, you put, and I've just noticed this from our social accounts, like, for things we put out, we'll put out completely unrelated game clips. And in the comments, just someone will make a joke or post a meme about the president or a topic right now, and then it just explodes into a fight. It's like everybody's out there, guards up, and they just want to fight each other on things that are completely unrelated. They don't know the person. It could be a bot that they're fighting with, but there just seems to be – and this feels like it's only Twitter. Have you guys noticed this? And
it's very toxic right now. Like, it's kind of bad. Even in the industry, even as a PR professional, like, it's kind of annoying because you have to kind of tiptoe around everything at this point because you don't want someone to get enraged or triggered by something you say. But I have noticed it on Twitter more so than, like, Facebook. Things like that. Like, Facebook has seemed very mellow compared to Twitter at the landscape of things.
I think part of it is the COVID stuff. I think a lot of the anger and a lot of the heightened emotions comes from people being A, scared, and B, like, just in and just being in a like a perpetual state of fear for the last 4, 5, 6 months. And from being stuck at home. Everybody is stuck at home with nothing to do. A lot of people lost their jobs. Everything's blown up. Everybody's got extra time. And so you end up with these crazy heightened emotions that you take out in the places that you can control because you can't control anything else.
And just the combating of, like, mental health, too, during this time, in adults and in children, like, it's been crazy. Like, and I don't think a lot of people know, like, where to go to get help, even though a lot of companies and a lot of places are trying to provide those services. I don't think people are realizing that, and they're just, like Emma said, they just have a heightened sense of emotion, so that's their outlet, is through these tweets.
Curtis, and last time I checked, you were taking a break, a hiatus from Twitter. Have you come back yet, and what caused the hiatus?
I came back and I'm this close to turning right back around.
You should just honestly get rid of Twitter. You will be so much more happy.
I did, actually. It's funny, on my main phone, I don't have the Twitter app and the and Instagram. Like, I have them on my phone that I leave out, like my little secondary media phone. So I check them on there sometimes if I'm out and I'm like, oh, I check Twitter. I have to go to the Safari app and, like, sign in. So I don't get notifications, you know, luckily, but. I mean, part of the reason what caused it is exactly what we're saying now. It was already building up towards that over time. I love technology and, you know, the original idea for it. And, you know, and there are still those tweets and such that are, you know, either informative or entertaining and can even be heartwarming. But it is pretty discouraging when you even see people, you know, get into a big, you know, argument on there when you can even clearly see that they're coming from the same side and they actually agree. But just because they're not saying the exact same verbiage or, you know, like, one person won't kneel to the other person in the way that you're supposed to, you know, say the thing or whatever, you know, it turns into a really big thing in a time where, you know, like Emma said, you know, so many people already have either fear, frustration, you know, just or even just pent up energy from not being able to live our lives, you know, in the normal way that we would normally do so, and being indoors more, you know, that becomes the unintentional outlet, and unfortunately, it just ended up leading to a bunch of toxicity. So it's unfortunate, you know. I really, all of us, especially in these times, can use more positivity. The truth still needs to come out. BLM stuff and Me Too stuff and, you know, all of that stuff. Pride, you know, still share all those things. That's important. But if we don't find a way to balance that as human beings, like, we're only going to make ourselves, you know, more and more disgruntled. If we can't find a healthy balance, you know, and disconnect sometimes and just go spend some good old, you know, time with some friends or reconnect more, you know, outside of, I mean, even like private media, even I feel like Discord chats and stuff like that, you know, tend to be a lot less toxic, you know, because we're kind of all focused on one thing and usually it's a more joyful thing. But shoot, I mean, even that, there's been some local stuff with some local streamers and a local streamer group that even kind of made Discord a little rough the other day. But I would just like to see us balance it out and introduce some more positivity. In any way we can, because we really all could use it.
Emma, you typically feed off of this discourse and conflict, but how are you feeling about, you know, just Twitch? What's your feeling when you log on every day? Or Twitter,
I mean, Oh, I was like, it's a very different question. It fucking sucks. I don't know. It's hard because you gotta, I try to balance the idea of staying informed and staying abreast of what's going on and knowing what's happening with, God, this fucking sucks and it makes me miserable. Oh my God, I miss being happy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the same thing as, you know, as the news. Like, everything's awful. Everything's terrible. You don't want to know anything. You don't want to talk about anything. But you have to stay informed. You have to know what's going on. And it's garbage.
Yeah.
I have no words of wisdom. Everything's awful.
Yeah, it truly is. I think, you know, I want to believe it'll get better. The crazy thing is, you know, they kind of just started, you know, the whole thing with about Twitter is that it's not necessarily like this on the other platforms, like especially on Instagram. There's tons of idiots. I'm not saying, Emma, you would probably know more because you spend a lot of time on Instagram. But as far as what I see, there's not much more, like the conversations don't stay so charged all the time. So I'm
Instagram is by its nature more visual platform. So it's. You're less likely to get into these giant conversations on a visual platform where you have to, I think what it comes down to is you have to expand to see comments. Like you have to hit a button and go to a different screen to see all the comments. So that by its own nature is going to lend itself to people just kind of moving on with their lives in a way that.
I think too, one observation I've made is that on Instagram, there tends to be a lot more comments of people just like, but not conversations, if that makes sense.
Right,
like people want to say like, hey, good job on this, or whoa, that's dope. But they don't necessarily want to have these big conversations. And I think to Instagram's credit, might be the secret sauce, is that they don't really reward you as much as Twitter does for getting into conflict and having these conversations. Because like when you go to Instagram and I see a post that has 1,000 comments, I want to let Ivy Doomkitty know I appreciate this cosplay. I don't necessarily want to go through there, and I'm not incentivized to go through and find an idiot with a bad take and beat him into the ground for it, you know? On Twitter, you know, it feels like people are chasing clout and likes and stuff a lot more, and those don't really mean as much on Instagram. But you know, we talk about this on social media, and then meanwhile, you know, the TikTok Zoomer generation, you know, is sabotaging presidential campaigns and K-pop stands. Like social media is in a very weird place right now, where Twitter is just this minefield of toxicity, and on TikTok they're disrupting the government and doing Korean pop dance videos. So
the way you said that was the most boomer thing I've ever heard you say. These kids are doing their Korean, you know, pop dance.
The Korean pop dances every time.
Oh God.
Every time
you were like one step away from that Fox News segment where they were talking about that, and the guy goes, "Fans of the group K-pop."
Hey, I know stuff. I know BTS. And
name one other K-pop band.
isn't there one called Baby Metal or something like that?
That is not K-pop.
That's not K-pop. They're actually Japanese.
Damn it!
What? Racist is what that is.
And they're a metal group. In their name.
It's in the name. It's not pop.
I actually like them.
The correct answer is Blackpink, by the way.
See, I knew there was another one.
There you go.
Or Shiny. Or EXO.
I'm behind the times, guys. I'm a father now. I don't know all this stuff. The next news story I'll let you guys lead, because I have no idea what it is. Joss Whedon is back in the news. I can only assume he's done some wonderful movie that we're all excited about.
Society has progressed past the need for Joss Whedon. We're done with Joss Whedon. Leave him alone.
Emma,
when
have you ever passed up a chance to sully this man's name? Please.
He's a garbage human being. We know this. We know that he's a piece of shit.
I need more evidence. Oh. What happened?
So today, Ray Fisher, who played Cyborg in the Justice League, came out and basically said that Joss Whedon's behavior on set was abusive, unprofessional, it was gross, and it was allowed and facilitated by, Jeff Johns, John Berg, people up in DC who let it happen and who just let it be what it was and didn't stop anything and didn't stop him from doing anything. And I believe earlier this week, he also retweeted a video of him on a panel for Justice League where he had said, he basically said, you know, Joss Whedon is a great person and he was a really great choice to come in and finish up for Zack Snyder. So he retweeted that video and said, I would like to formally rescind or retract this entire statement.
Damn.
Like, he, and yeah, so to shock absolutely fucking nobody, yet another person is talking about Joss Whedon being a piece of shit. Why does this man still have a job? Anywhere. I hate it. I hate him. I hate him so much.
Curtis, what do you think about all this? Because this is close to the comic book realms and all, and which you're very into. So is this surprising for you? Par for the course? What do you think?
Par for the course, apparently, from everything that we've been seeing from Joss Whedon in the last few years. The more shocking part for me, especially on the comic book side, is how Ray Fisher had dropped Geoff Johns' name, someone who is beloved as a writer in comics, especially on DC, known to be very heartwarming and you know, brought some of the cheer to the Wonder Woman movie, brought some of like the childlike giddiness and excitement and good nature to the Shazam movie. But Ray Fisher dropped his name as someone who was enabling him. And I did know that Joss Whedon and Geoff Johns were friendly outside of working. So it was no coincidence when he had gotten hired to, you know, do the reshoots and finish up Justice League. But it even went deeper. Unfortunately, I saw a young lady in that thread of Ray Fisher's who had also alleged, had alleged Geoff Johns doing some other not so savory behavior, which is kind of along the lines of what Joss Whedon had been known for recently. So I was just like,
yeah, she was saying that Geoff Johns had basically flirted with her through DMs when she was 17 and he was aware of her age.
Wow.
Man.
But, so, and then very depressingly, all our favorite everything, Alan Tudyk, comes out and gives just the classic fucking male response to a lot of these things, especially, I mean, I would say more so the male response when it comes to these being about abusive women, but even more shocking, he basically just came out and said, well, I've known Joss Whedon for 17 years and I can't imagine him doing anything like this, and I have a pretty good imagination.
So it's kind of weird.
That's kind of a weird comment. Like, yeah. Is that his way of saying like, I've known Joss Whedon a long time. I can't imagine him doing something like that. And I can imagine some pretty messed up stuff. Cause that sounded a little weird. And
it's just crazy. His way of saying he's never done anything to me. So he's never done anything to you and you're lying. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, why dude? It is. Why are we still talking like this? Why is this still?
Well, didn't you say it was liked by Felicia Day as well?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's just kind of, I think it's just one of those things that happens when you're friends with somebody or, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've seen, if you've been on, again, Twitter or social media, you've just seen like people getting called out of the woodwork for stuff. And there's been some that kind of hit close to home, to be honest. Like some people, you know, I thought I would have known pretty well. And
oh yeah, I have lost people over the last couple weeks.
Yeah. And while it is instinct, I mean, and I'm just gonna say it's instinct to want to defend your friends. Like there's really only one case I could think of where it really did hit close to home. And while I can't defend any of the actions, like it hurt because it's irrefutable, but at the same time, you know, it's a person who can get better with time. And I want to believe in that. And I just can't feel right canceling somebody, you know, like a human being. So I
understand the instinct to defend your friends, but you know, if you want to do that, like personally text him, see how he's doing. Don't immediately shut down. He started his tweet, because I'm looking at the tweet now, he started his tweet with the phrase "wasn't there, but." That's it. That's where you should have ended it. You weren't there. You have no idea what you're talking about. Don't shut this guy down just because he's never been mean to you. So he did a follow-up tweet because somebody replied and said, you know, you weren't there, end of story. So he retweeted that and said, true, I shouldn't deny another person's experience if I wasn't there. It's ignorant. In my experiences in and out of work with Joss, where he has been kind and supportive, brilliant and funny, he's a hard worker, a taskmaster, and a passionate, if unconventional, dancer. Respect. So it's like he starts out by saying, you know what, you're right. And then ends by saying, actually, here's a repeat of everything I just said, where like he's just a good person and I don't believe it.
Yeah.
And then he also didn't get rid of the original tweet, which would lead you to believe. I don't know. It's just let people talk. Just let people talk. Because what does this guy, what does Ray Fisher have to gain from this? He is going to suffer for this. He is a young black actor trying to expose a beloved white prolific director. Like, there's no winning for him here. Why would he? I don't know. It's just ridiculous. The idea that it's infuriating. The whole situation's infuriating.
The you know, unrelated, I will say, in my rewatch of all the Marvel movies, Avengers 2 is easily the shittiest, like, of all of them. Upon rewatch, it's worse than Ant-Man. And you guys who've listened to the show know I really despised Ant-Man 1.
Wow.
And in the rewatch, like, Avengers 2 was hard to get through. It was.
That's true. Joss Whedon's also just a trash director. Did I ever send you, or did I make you read the Wonder Woman script that he did?
You've mentioned.
You talked about that?
You've mentioned how it had some of this very much of his typical tropes.
Every time this stuff comes up now, that script comes back up, and I just saw somebody else talking about it. They're like, is now a good time to talk about the Wonder Woman script that he read, that he wrote, that looks like it was written by a sex offender?
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
If you look at the, just read that script. If you question, if anybody who's listening questions Joss Whedon's credibility or questions his character, read the Wonder Woman script that he did. And just know who he is as a person. Doesn't he call her a bitch like 7 times in the movie?
I think that was the funniest stat of the thing.
I was like, what are you doing? Because they managed to write this movie without anybody calling her a bitch. That's crazy. But you did it 7 times.
Yeah.
It's Joss Whedon is the definition of the male gaze.
Well, you know, I just wanted to give Emma her typical semi-annual platform to destroy Joss Whedon.
That's like, there's few things, like, you like to joke about, there's few things that will, like, legitimately, like, trigger me in the entire sense of the internet word, that Joss Whedon is one of them.
Well, you know, we'll talk about it again, I'm sure, when he does the next Justice League movie next year or whatever he goes on to do, because I don't think this is going to be the end of him by any means.
I really wish it was.
Let's end with a one last glimmer of hope in the video game world. This could be a prediction that I could possibly jinx, but have you guys heard of the game Hyperscape yet?
No.
Is that the Ubisoft one?
It is.
They're doing like a battle royale, aren't they?
Yeah, so Ubisoft is the next company to get into the battle royale game with a new first-person shooter, according to Slasher. It's called Hyperscape. The new title is said to be a fast-paced FPS Battle Royale. A formal announcement will come this Thursday, so tomorrow, today, if you're listening to this, with a closed beta the week of July 6th and full release very soon after July 12th. Word of Hyperscape came on Monday in advance of the publisher. The leak was accompanied by several screenshots. Tfue, who is a very, very, very popular Fortnite streamer, put out a statement saying that he feels like he's already addicted to this game, absolutely loves it. Prisma Dimensions says they're thrilled to bring this iteration of Hyperscape and pending. Basically, get ready to drop into neon-drenched streets, the world's premier virtual city, Neo Arcadia. You will hit the ground running. You will need every advantage you can give yourself a leg up on the competition. Only the best contenders will make it to the final showdown. You will claim victory or fall to the perils of Hyperscape. One of the gimmicks I heard, and I'm just going to call it a gimmick for right now until it's proven, is the fact that Twitch viewers, it's actually made with Twitch in mind, will have direct impact on aspects of the games. So like Hunger Games style, if you're watching matches, you can do things to, I don't know, assist people or make the terrain more difficult. That's unclear. But there's some hope for this one. I know, Emma, you used to play a little bit of Apex. This is a first-person shooter. They say it's going to be cross-platform is what I hear. Any interest in jumping in on this one? Come on. You need a new game. What are you playing right now anyways?
I just finished Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
The real games. That's... games that came out this decade, Emma.
Came out in 2014, so fight me.
2014, doesn't that feel like a decade ago, though? Come on.
Oh, God. January feels like a decade ago.
Yeah. Crossplay though, that should get you excited, you know, the console friends across different platforms getting together. That's exciting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Curtis, did you ever jump on Apex? And does this one get you in a frenzy?
I played Apex one time when we were out there at the gaming lounge. How am I not remembering it? But anyway, when we were at a gaming lounge, I played it one time. It was fun. Still got my anxiety way too high, hearing bullets whiz at my head and having to use all my fingers on a keyboard. I'm not built like that. So I'm probably not that interested. But if I do get interested at all, I'm going to wait till more people play it and actually legitimately like start to praise it.
All right, prediction time, guys. This is going to be 100% game of the year. This is the one we're going to be talking about for years to come.
You realize Cyberpunk comes out this year, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe, just maybe, I'm going to put all my eggs into the hyperspace basket as an insurance policy to not ruin Cyberpunk.
So oh my God.
I'm falling. I'm carrying this cross for you guys. I think hyperspace. No, honestly, I think hyperspace is going to be really good, but I think the developer's going to kill it. I don't think Ubisoft has a good track record. They had, you know, a really good chance with For Honor. I feel like that game was really good and they just really dropped the ball when it came to support. And so I haven't seen Ubisoft knock too much out of the park besides Rainbow Six. So
Just Dance, hello.
I have not seen anything good that they've done besides Rainbow Six.
You're talking about Ubisoft, right? Creed. I was going to say, yeah, the Assassin's Creed games. Everything loved Odyssey. Hello. If it's... Odyssey was like a huge hit.
Oh, was there a thriving esports scene for Assassin's Creed?
Does anybody care about esports? Oh, nobody cares about esports.
Oh, there's no esports scene, so the game doesn't exist. All right? It's a dead game.
Hey, come on. Just Dance. Everybody get out your dance pad.
It really feels like that for me sometimes, though. If a game doesn't have an esports scene to me, it's like I have no value in it anymore, which is sad. Unless it's Outer Worlds or... You know, I've been playing a lot more of those indie games. Emma, have you had a chance to play any of the indie games off of the itch.io?
I have not. Not yet.
But you had some ideas for a stream, right?
I do. Maybe I'll do that on Friday because I don't know what I'm starting next.
Do it. There's tons of good stuff on there. I got some recommendations for you. I played with the chat one time a game called One Night Stand, which was awesome. Scared. It was like you wake up in bed next to somebody and you make the decisions on like how to proceed and stuff, and it was interesting to see, you know, I've never been in that situation before, so it was nice to kind of like be a voyeur through that. But tons of great games on there. I look forward to it. Emma, what's your stream schedule looking like for the rest of the week?
I'll be on Thursday and Friday at 4 p.m. Probably. I will say probably for Friday because Hamilton comes out.
Oh, on Disney Plus.
On Disney Plus at midnight Pacific Standard Time on Friday, Thursday night. So maybe I'll be streaming on Friday and maybe I will be watching Hamilton for the 18th time. And also, if anybody wants to watch it, we are doing a movie night in Discord. In my Discord on Sunday at 5 p.m. open to everybody. If you want to watch Hamilton, you don't have Disney Plus, we're all going to watch it.
All right. You're not going to get DMCA'd over that? The DMCA is not going to be knocking on your door trying to shut you down?
Not for Discord.
Oh, okay. Here you go. Discord, everybody. The rules don't matter.
We do movie night every Sunday.
Lexi, what's your plug-in? Chat was just wouldn't shut up about wanting you to come back to the world of streaming.
I'm actually streaming Friday.
Hey.
Oh, I'm off.
Man. All right. So what are you going to stream?
Well, of course, League. I don't know if I'm going to stream anything else because of my computer situation, but we'll see in the next few weeks because I'm going to try some tech that's coming in, maybe.
Okay.
So we'll see. But I know Friday for sure I'm going to try to stream League, and maybe I'll try to stream like a smaller game, just for fun.
And remind everybody again where they could see your Twitch streams.
Yeah, sure. So it's X space Minty X on Twitch. And then you can follow me on Twitter, of course, LexiJPR.
All right, beautiful. And Curtis, what you working on, man?
I'm just staying out the way right now. I'm waiting till the coast clears. I haven't really been streaming or anything. If I stream anything at all, it might be some NBA 2K because my Kings are doing incredible right now. Almost won the last tournament. We got to the finals, got beat out by a better team, but we're doing really good. So I'm just celebrating them. I'm celebrating our record and just playing some 2K. But other than that, it might be another few weeks before I jump in front of a crowd of people.
You know, not a bad move. For me, I don't have any streams planned. Just doing the dad thing. I know I'm super excited for the San Francisco Shock competing in the Summer Showdown. Trying to pull home another $200,000 prize pool. It's crazy. They've been doing like these fantasy brackets on OverwatchLeague.com, and overwhelmingly, the feedback has been the Shock are going to win. It just feels good, man, to be part of a winning venture. I'm just super excited. Shout out to Energy Esports, my company, who just signed an insanely huge Twitch streamer to the brand. His name is Clix. Does anybody in here know who Clix is, first of all? Emma, nope. Minty, Skip, do you guys know who Clix? Have you heard the name?
I've heard the name, but I have no idea.
Emma, what about you? You're the resident young person.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You see, you're our resident young person, and you haven't heard. It's because you're old now, Emma. Hello.
I am.
I'm sorry.
Very much so.
You're
okay,
old.
Okay, boomer. I have to give Emma her.
This
her
is totally boomer a boomer podcast. This kid is, he's popular, man. Like, for his, when we announced it this afternoon, his stream capped up at 190,000 people in the stream watching it.
Concurrently?
Concurrently.
Jesus.
During the announcement, we put out the YouTube video, you know, in the middle of his stream. Within an hour or within like a couple hours, had 300,000 views. There is this young population of children, 12, 13, 11 year olds, that we just are blind to, that are absorbing Fortnite streamers like they're Elvis Presley or the Beatles. It's today my eyes were completely opened. Across every platform, we put out a tweet, it spawned with 4K likes. It's just ridiculous. Dang. How these people are out there, the type of phenomenon that is out there in this, you know. So like, we kind of shit like on esports and how big it is or whatever, and even gaming as a whole. This next generation, when they start getting a little bit older and a little bit like hit their peak, games are going to be huge, way bigger than they are now. It's nuts. So congratulations, SF Shock. Congratulations, Grady Rains, on an incredible a video that included one of our investors, Shaquille O'Neal, in it. Congratulations to Jamie, our GM, who signed the deal. Just firm handshakes all around, to quote Dr. Disrespect. Really proud of my org. So check them out at EnergyGG on Twitter, at SF Shock, if you want to keep up with our matches this weekend. But that's it. The world's going to burn down, guys. Predicting it now. Wash your hands, please.
Wear a fucking mask.
Wear your mask. Please. Be respectful. Oh, don't pray on it on people. Like, just come on, man. We got to get through
this.
Step
back 6 feet, please.
Come on. Give me 6 feet. Thank you for watching. We'll catch you next week. For Lexi, Emma, Curtis, my name is Corey. You've just been banged.